The word of God this sixth Sunday after Pentecost comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Grace and peace of God the Father, through God the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be ours now and forever. Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is so great, and I'm so glad to be back again to worship with you this second time in this Sunday. I am so thankful for your generosity and your love and your hospitality. So this summer sermon series continues today on showing civility and consideration. And what I felt from my being present here the second time, I feel this church is a church that speaks for itself in its spirit, that is so full with life and energy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it reflects the true civility and consideration. I guess that's the end of the sermon, right? Simple as it gets. When your church reflects that, what the message has to be given, what more can we come and talk about? But we believe God has more for us. So ever since, when sin crept upon this earth, there has been problem in the area of humanity. And so we see God speaks to Cain when that situation arises. God's word to Cain is, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you. And God is giving him an advice, and he says, but you must rule over it. You see, sin not only overcame Cain, but it ultimately overcame the entire human race to a point that God regretted making mankind. And the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created. And then he goes on in the end, says, I regret that I have made them. That is the height of sin that has taken over mankind. And so came Noah and the flood. God only found Noah to be righteous and blameless among the people of his time. And we see Noah walked faithfully with God. And Noah warned the people of the coming destruction. But everybody laughed at him. Nobody cared. Only Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, were the only human being that were left upon this planet Earth when the flood took place. This is quite a cleansing of the world from evil people. When God created Adam and Eve, he said to them, the word he said is, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. And it is the exact same words after the flood that God said to Noah and his sons, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. So we see after the flood, one of Noah's son, name is Shem, and from Shem to Abraham, it took 9 generations within approximately 2,441 years. And what we see after Noah and the flood, the world turns away from God and they worship many gods. Amazing. In the midst of all this, God found Abraham. He was not yet Abraham, he was Abram, the Amorite. And God called him out of his country and his people. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Abraham, she had not yet become Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his nephew. They left Haran and went out to the land of Canaan. And ever since then, here we are today. The world still exists. Thank God to his prophets and priests and king. Jesus, the great high priest, has done it all. Have you ever noticed? A dog never forgets his master. But it's amazing. A man forgets his creator and redeemer. Human tendency is rebellion against God. Why is it? It's because sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have everyone, but everyone must rule over it. Pride, anger, jealousy, it creeps without notice in our lives. What can I say about myself? Is that happening in my life? Absolutely. I do confess that I do have pride. I do have anger and I do have jealousy. Even though I say, God's will be done, but many times I have found myself out of God's will. And as much as I want to not acknowledge it, the truth of the matter, the fact is, there is pride and anger and jealousy residing in me. And as God said to Cain, he says the same thing to me, that I have to rule over it. As the body of Christ, there is more than me, my, and mine. It is Jesus and you and me. So as we go back to the scriptures, we see the Bible talks about three kinds of people. The natural, the unsaved. The carnal, who are saved, but they live for the world. And the spiritual, who are devoted to God. And here in Genesis 13, we read about Abraham and Lot. We see both of these men of God. They are blessed abundantly. Lot was a righteous man, but he was not devoted to the Lord. He was the friend of the world. Abraham, he was a righteous man who walked with God and was devoted to him. Lot illustrates the worldly believers who lost everything in the fire of judgment. The conflict between Abraham and Lot, it arose because they both were walking two different ways. Abraham walked in the spirit while Lot walked in the flesh. It seems that the conflict arose between them because of wealth, but the real cause was Lot's unbelief and carnality. This conflict was a poor testimony among the heathens that were living in that land. But this did not matter to Lot because it was all about himself. We see Lot was Abraham's nephew, and Abraham loved and cared for Lot like his own child. And instead of Lot submitting to him, his elder, he placed himself ahead of Abraham. So as Lot goes further away from God, Abraham drew more closer to God. Lot became the friend of the world, while Abraham became the friend of God. As Lot moved away from God, he also lost God's protection, and because of that, he suffered consequences. The friendship of this world, the love for the world, had made him conform to the world, hence ending him to a judgment of the world. Even though he moved to the best place on earth, which he thought would give him peace and protection, instead, it turned into a place of warfare and danger. But in contrast, we see Abraham lived for others. He lived by faith, and God chose him and blessed him, and Abraham gave thanks to God. Abraham had his times of trial and failing. And we see when we disobey the will of God, the only right thing is go back to the place where we left God and make a new beginning. No failure is permanent. We ought to return back to our altar. Regardless of our circumstances, we are to stay in fellowship with God. You see, Lot had a lot of opportunity to become a man of God as he walked with Abraham. But, see what he did. Abraham looked towards Sodom. And then he moved towards Sodom. And then he moved into Sodom. Lot said, I will take, but to Abraham, God said, I will give. Lot lost his family, but Abraham was promised a family so large that it could not be counted. And so now we go to Acts 15. Another set of two believers who are found in conflict with each other. And they are Paul and Barnabas. Like Abraham, both of them walked in the Spirit. Yet we see there is conflict between them. And this time the conflict is not about money or property or things of the world. It was disagreement about a fellow believer named John, who's also known as Mark. So John Mark was a part of the ministry, and at some point he fell away. He fell away for some reasons that we do not know. So Paul felt that his trust and confidence was betrayed. And so now comes a point where Barnabas, he wants to take John Mark along with them to visit believers in all the towns where the word of God was preached and see how they were doing. And at that point, Paul did not want to do anything with John Mark. It seems weird that here is Paul and here is Barnabas. They had just helped bring unity in the church, and now they cannot settle their own disagreements. It seemed that the only solution was for them to go their own different ways. So Barnabas takes John Mark and went to Cyprus, and Paul takes Silas and he goes to Syria and Cilicia. I wonder who was right. But does it matter? Perhaps both of them were right and wrong in certain things. As seen, John Mark, he did well in the ministry, and Paul did come to love and appreciate him. Maybe Paul was looking how they can better serve God, while Barnabas looked how God can use them to serve him. I don't know. Maybe that was the case. But good and godly people in church do disagree, and it is a painful fact to accept. Regardless, God's work continues to go on through his people. But what I see from this conflict, it is the beginning of extension of ministry. It's the beginning of multiplication. Two ministry team instead of one. Two separate sets of believers, two different kinds of conflict. But we see conflicts among believers and churches, they do not go unnoticed. When that happens, it hurts the testimony of our faith. In comparison to both conflicts, where do we find ourselves? Are we like Abraham or Lot? Or like Paul, Barnabas, or John Mark? I confess, I many times am like Lot, the worst of all. We are imperfect people. If God had to depend on perfect people to accomplish his work, he would never ever get anything done. The only perfect person who could do his job to completion was he himself in Jesus Christ. Our limitation and imperfections are good reasons for us to depend on the grace of God, for the sufficiency for him alone. But the good thing is that victorious Christian life is a series of new beginning which begins with repentance. I want to share here with you a true incident. As you all know, I work full-time as a jailer and a part-time as a care pastor with my church. So here in the jail, here is this young inmate, and he have all these ugly, filthy tattoos on his face and on his body. He looked evil and nasty and angry. He looked as if he was demon-possessed. This is how it gets when people allow pride and anger to take roots in their ways of life and become rebellious to the point that either it is my way or the highway. No respect for elders, the law, or godly values. Well, after some time, this inmate got moved to another housing unit where he got to hear and study and understand the Bible and know the love of God through another inmate. And after some time, I got to see him again. And I called him and I asked him, "There is something different. What has happened to you? You do not look the same." He said, "Jesus happened to me. The glory of God shone from that same ugly tattooed face." This was this typical evidence of godly connection and transformation, reflection of this humbleness from him. And this was so awesome and so beautiful. This man had an attitude of humbleness and compliance and respect for authority. He accepted responsibility, accountability, and an attitude of repentance and dependence upon God. We live in a very hurtful, angry, and bitter world. How can there be healing and deliverance and resolution? The true Christian character begins with the attitude in our lives. Civility and consideration can also be found in unbelievers, but there's a difference in the true Christ-like civility and consideration which only comes through Jesus Christ, through his humbleness. Christian unity is in relationship with Christ, leading us into transformation by him, Jesus, into the humble character of Christ. For then they will know we are Christians by our love, by our unity, and our kindness, and our compassion for one another. Jesus is providing this right guidance to the true Christian character in the reading of the gospel from Matthew 5. The word blessed comes from the Latin word beatus, and from that comes the word beatitude. It means divine joy and perfect happiness. It implies to inner satisfaction and sufficiency that does not depend on outward circumstances for happiness. This is what the Lord offers to those who trust in him. We realize our need and we admit in the poverty of our spirit. We truly are sorrowful and we mourn and are repentant of our sins and the sins of others. Our attitude towards others is in being meek and teachable and not asserting our rights. We hunger and thirst for God than for the things and charms of this world. We have an appetite for spiritual things. We love others, with a forgiving and a merciful spirit. The purity of our heart is finding happiness in godly holiness and not divided between God and the world. We seek to be people of peace, unity within ourselves and among others, willing to give ourselves sacrificially. So here we all come together. We all come together with our baggage of hurt and grief and sin and pain. We all are one in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we stand together with one another. Your hurt is my hurt. Your pain is my pain. Your grief is my grief. Your joy is my joy. My wife is not your wife. She is your sister. We are the true family of God. None is better or worse than the other, for we are one in the Spirit, for we are one in the Lord. How can we as a church make godly impact among those who are without God? Where there is love, there is connection with one another, and the absence of hate and jealousy and grievance and anger. In our connection, there is humility, transforming our inner body, soul, and spirit. There is this genuine care, feeling, and consideration for one another. Great worship and great worship team and great pastor and great messages are awesome. But what makes the real difference is each and every one of us over here. Those words of God in the Beatitudes, when transforms our lives, it reflects loud and clear in our presence, in our character, and our personality, in places where we live, work, and play, and worship. God is still saying the same thing to us as he said to Adam and Eve and to Noah and his sons. God is saying to us, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. And we find that in Matthew 28, it says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, meaning to be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you to the end of age. Husbands and wives, siblings, friends, neighbors, church members, and its leadership, how do you see yourself as a child of God in relation to your surrounding, showing, reflecting, and testifying the true Christ-like transformation in your civility and consideration? The church, not this beautiful, awesome building, but you and I are the spiritual hospital to one another and to those whom God brings in touch with us. In our civility and consideration, our automatic reflex is to lift up the fallen, help and restore and encourage the brokenhearted, be loving and kind and considerate to the hurting. Abraham continued to love and care and intercede for Lot. Barnabas did not lose hope in John Mark. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Once we were lost and now we are found. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. He wants to equip you. He wants to empower you to do greater things. Let us desire to be the first one to be Christ to those who are in need of it. Let us pray. Father in heaven, there is so much in us that needs your power and your grace to a point that civility and consideration of divine love, care, character, and sacrifice would come out of us for those around us. I can't do it. You can, we all can do it, but you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can do it. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Touch us, revive us, renew us, and strengthen us, that your glory may flow from us into this earth. Let this earth be filled with the glory and the knowledge of God. And all God's people say, amen.